This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
FRG Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia
and Justine Hughes,
as we break open the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Sunday Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influences, Father Rob Gallia Homilies.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to episode 10
We're flying
of season 10.
We're about to enter into a new season liturgically as well, because we're preparing for the Christ the King this Sunday.
So. It's a triple whammy of an episode.
Yeah.
Whammy.
Oh, whammy. Watch out. It's going to be loaded with extra golden goodness.
Christ the King is a very interesting feast. It's the first liturgical calendar year, right? It's the New Year's.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's the New Year's Day. Or the end, or beginning. I should know this stuff, but yes.
I was thinking, I was hoping it's
the beginning and the end.
Well, I know, I'm going to have it in front of me.
It's around that time, hey. Yes.
Isn't it also when we technically celebrate World Youth Day every year?
Yes.
Palm Sunday.
No, they switched it.
They switched it. There you go.
For all up-to-date information, come to me. If you want to be outdated and incorrect, talk to Father Rob. Just kidding.
That's good. I'm like very well educated, but where were you educated? Let's talk about school.
Santa Maria College in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
She was the A student. She was the best. She's, like, they named the study theatre after her.
Sorry, right? I did win the best all-rounder award in year 12. No, I loved school because I loved learning. I loved doing well at school. I was a very studious student. I was very nerdy. But I also loved the co-curricular life of the school too. Like, I didn't just study. I got involved in the choirs, the productions, debating, a whole bunch of different things. And that's what made school fun, I think. It was having the performances and the friends you made from different year levels in the choirs. One of those girls is still one of my best friends to this day.
Oh, cool.
And did you like want to be a lawyer or something then?
I did. So. I wanted to be a lawyer the whole time up to year 10, and then I did work experience in a law firm and a record label. I was that overachieving student who did two work experiences, and I just couldn't see myself being a lawyer.
But now you're a qualified teacher, right?
I am.
And a musician, a professional musician, and also FRG entrepreneur. Yeah.
I guess the teaching stuff, God used it all in the end, right? But I just did something in case music didn't work out, and I was determined to prove everyone that music could work, so...
Yes.
There you go.
And Justine, yourself?
I went to school in a very low socioeconomic area, but I reckon that's what made me love school more. Yeah. So Panola Catholic College, great school, you know, people from all walks of life, different nationalities, super multicultural, but I loved it. I kind of loved it. It was rough around the edges. Nothing about it was perfect. But most significantly, our school was on the same site that St. Mary MacKillop actually established a baby's home back in the day. Amazing. So St. Mary MacKillop chose to set up this place in this spot, and I think it's no coincidence that it wasn't in an affluent suburb, where the real life happens. And even the chapel, she prayed in the chapel at the school. So I probably didn't appreciate that as much when I was at school, but I actually went back to work at the school that I went to as a youth minister. And so I'd go say prayers in the chapel every morning, and I just would like imagine Mary MacKillop doing the same thing. So it was cool, actually. I know that not everyone likes school. I know, you know, it's not the nicest of memories for a lot of people. Mine was rough around the edges, but overall.
And I've been to Panola a few times as well. So
it's nice. We've got nice gardens.
I love going there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love speaking there.
I turned out all right. Look at me, guys. Look at me go.
And your sister teaches there as well.
Used to. At one point, my sister taught there. I was the youth minister there. Her husband was a teacher there. And my poor younger brother was a student.
Oh, my God.
It's like, just let me live my life. Get away from me. But we've all graduated and moved on with our lives now.
Yeah. Well, my school life wasn't that happy. I hated school. Oh, I hated school.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, I was bullied. I was bullied really badly in the school I was in. So school was always miserable for me. But I'm grateful for it as well. I got through it eventually. But it also has defined who I was. And I think it was, but I loved university when I finally made it to university. I loved it. But like you're saying, for some people it's good, some people it's bad, but I'm grateful for the education. But also I can imagine how hard it was for my parents. I can't help but think, you know, like I remember just coming home crying and passing out, literally fainting because I just didn't want to go to school.
Oh, I'm so sad to hear that.
But my parents, they tried, I didn't know what they felt so helpless, you know, and I really admire them how they did that. On that note, let's hear from our sponsors.
This Catholic Influencers podcast is sponsored by Modern Grace. Modern Grace is a unique online Catholic gift store with a beautiful faith-inspired collection of gifts and homewares to bring into your life and to share with your family, friends, and faith-filled community.
Stocking everything from liturgical planners, rosaries, inspiring reads, sacramental gifts, Catholic homewares, a children's collection of toys, wraps and teethers, and FRG ministry merchandise and more.
Modern Grace introduces Catholic gifts which add value to your faith life for any occasion. Discounts available for stocking church piety stores, conferences and events. Just contact us online for more information.
So check out their range at moderngrace.com.au and follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
So we might start this podcast off in prayer before we read the upcoming Sunday Gospel of the week. So we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we just come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity that we get today to dive into your word in this Sunday Gospel. We ask you to open our eyes, open our hearts to encounter you in a new way. And in light of what we're going to read, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to recognize you in all those that we meet and that you would give us a newfound zeal to serve you through the service of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So the gospel that we'll be working through today is from Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, but when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, but when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
I think one thing's crystal clear here is that God wants us to look after the poor. Mm-hmm. And that we will be judged. We will be judged. And this is clear. This is the proof. This is evidence that by what we do to help the poor. So even before we begin, just think, what do you do? What's the last thing you did to help the poor? Maybe you've prayed for hours. Maybe you've fasted. Maybe you go to Mass every Sunday. But you see, the judgment here is not how many times you went to Mass or how many times you've prayed the rosary, which are amazing things. But the biggest judgment, the biggest thing that God is going to look at us when we come into the kingdom of heaven is, what have you done for the least of these? Mm-hmm. So think, like, what is the last thing that made you uncomfortable for the poor? Even before we begin this podcast, this is the gist, ultimately, of where it comes down to. What are we doing to help those who are poor? But it's not as simple as that, because sometimes, who are the poor? Where are the poor? How are we going to reach out to the poor? We'll get a bit practical as we go along, but how we can do this.
Yeah, I really feel like perhaps the Lord was speaking to me as I was studying for this, because this really illuminated, changed the way I think about my income, how I earn my income and who and why I earn it. What I earn it for. And, you know, being charitable as a Christian it's not just about like putting money in a plate, you know, which is something that I probably could do a lot more than what I do. I wish I could do a lot more than I do, but I definitely think about giving money to the poor. But after reading this scripture, I realized that it changed the way I thought about my income. So I don't just work to meet my own needs, the needs of my husband, and perhaps the life that we are hoping to build and planning to build together. But I'm also working the hours that I work, the 7.5 hours that I work 5 days a week, and the wage that I get paid once a month all in one go is also so that I can give to those in need. I'm not just working for me, my family. I'm working for my brothers and sisters in Christ that I don't know. They are a reason why I work, so that I can give to them as well. And I just felt really, really challenged. Like, they are my family too, and I should be considering them as a big motivation for why I work and why I get money, so that I can support them as well. So I'm thankful for this. It's very challenging. Mm-hmm. I don't earn a lot of money, but they're my family too.
Yes. And that's such a beautiful attitude and a beautiful perspective, and that you're working for the poor. You know, that's beautiful. I'm getting up. Don't feel like getting out of bed today. I do it for my kids. I do it for my husband. I do it for my wife. I do it for the family. But I also do it for the poor. Mm. Even that alone, that attitude alone is what Jesus is talking about.
Mm. That was awesome. I was kind of convicted in how many opportunities that I waste being able to serve Jesus through the service of others. And we see that in this, the principal crimes of the wicked, those who were the goats separated on the other side, it wasn't the things that they did, it was the things that they didn't do. We have sins of commission, the things that we do, and sins of omission, the things that we don't do. And these people were unwilling to serve the Lord. It sounded like that they had so many opportunities when Jesus is saying, I haven't got the scripture in front of me, but when he was saying, can you read out those?
When you didn't feed the hungry, yes. When you didn't give me something to drink or clothe me when I was naked, the list.
Yes, they had so many opportunities, but they chose not to serve these people. And again, even Jesus's presence in the needy was a shock to these people as well. And again, I was just thinking, how many opportunities do I waste in choosing not to serve Jesus through others? Maybe that's something you can reflect on this week as well. Moments where you've maybe perhaps failed to recognize Jesus in other people, but perhaps, have a think about that this week. Yeah.
Mm. And I think let's practical, because I think God tells us like that he wants us to look after the poor, but it's not easy for me, so to speak, that because I live in Melbourne, I live in New York, I live in Ohio, I live wherever I live, and there's no opportunity really to help the poor. I'm not often reminded of the poor. And I think it's not complicated as well. So, because this is what Jesus is talking about here, is about simple help, about giving food. He's not saying that you have to give $50,000. He's not saying that you should go on missionary trips to help the poor, but he's saying feed the hungry, visit the prisoner, go and help those, and do it always not to satisfy your conscience. I work in schools and chaplaincies in high schools, and the amount of schools that do social justice for the sake of doing social justice. Yeah. I do it because, and students, I notice this when they don't get it. When they come back saying things like this, I know how I want to spend the rest of my life. The students come back and saying, I want to help the poor. I want to help. And that's fantastic. You think on the surface it's fantastic. But ultimately, if you dig deeper, you realize it's not about the poor, really. Mm-hmm. It's about how they made me feel.
Yes.
And how I, in giving the poor, I found purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about me finding my vocation, finding my call. And this is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about discomfort. When was the last time you became uncomfortable helping the poor, going to the homeless and sitting down with the homeless? It's easy to give $5. Fantastic. You gave this person a sandwich. Fantastic. But what about, what's his name? What's her name? Mm. What did you have a conversation with the person? Did you have time to be with the poor? Because you see, that person you had a 5-minute conversation with is Jesus. That's where Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's also helping people going out of helping charities and helping things like that. Yes, one of the things that we are doing as a ministry, FRG Ministry, is we're helping the poor. We're going more and more into this. And as I get older, I'm realizing I don't have time to waste. I'm an evangelist. That's what I do. I evangelize. But as I get older, I'm falling in love with the poor. I am falling in love with the poor. And it's not because of anything. Actually, it's an inconvenience because I don't have time. I need to preach the gospel, but I don't have time. But I'm just seeing Jesus so clearly in the poor. And just working with the poor. And so I just pray, even as a ministry, that we will create the opportunity, like eventually, for people to be able to love Jesus in the poor through this ministry. Mm. I don't know how it's going to be done, but anyway, I sidetrack.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, you're thinking of schools and when they take Jesus out of it, again, anyone can go and do works of charity. Anyone can go and serve the poor. But I think if we are truly Christians and we truly believe what we believe about the human person, that we are all made in the image and after the likeness of God, that means the presence of Jesus is in every single person. So how much more then should we as Christians be willing to put this love that we have for Jesus into action in the service of others? Again, we can't just profess our faith, as you were saying before, going to Mass, praying the rosary, all amazing things. It does need to be accompanied by action.
Yes.
Mother Teresa also said, because I know we've defaulted to just talking a lot about the poor in sort of physical means, but also Mother Teresa said the greatest poverty of her time. So this is a woman who literally spent time with people who were poor and living in gutters. But the greatest poverty, despite all that sort of physical poverty that she saw, of our time is loneliness. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you went and visited your grandma or your auntie? Like I get so sad when people start to treat their grandparents as kind of like a chore that they have to do, or like a once a month task. Loneliness is something that is the greatest pandemic of our time as well. And so how are we genuinely seeking to love and make priority those in our life who are lonely, who are disconnected, who don't have friends like you do in their life? How are we bringing them into community, not just going to visit them? How are we bringing them into our own community? So just something, yeah, it's very challenging. It's good that it's challenging.
Yes, and I think this is like also St. Francis, you know, it's about giving, but uncalculating.
Yes.
Like not calculating the cost, just giving extravagantly. And I think this is the story of St. Francis, you know, how he just discovered the poor one fine day, it seems, and all of a sudden he just renounced everything simply because he discovered a pearl of great price. He discovered a treasure. And there's, I just want to mention this story, how we can see Jesus in the poor. And there's this story of St. Martin of Tours. And he was a soldier, and he was in war, he was in the middle of war, and as he was going through the war, his coat was torn, and it was just in shreds because of the war, because he had been out for months, and he was exhausted, he was tired, he was cold, it was a cold day, but he sees a beggar, and what he does is he rips his coat in half, and he gives this half of a coat to this beggar. And that night he goes to sleep and he has a dream of Jesus wearing half of his coat.
Oh, man.
And he says, and in his coat. That's, he sees this conversation, and someone asks him, well, Jesus, why are you wearing this coat? Who gave it to you? And he said, my servant Martin gave it to me. And I think this is something so beautiful, you know, when we see that when we're giving, if you knew you were giving it to Jesus, if you knew that this was a treasure stored up in heaven, how much more would you give? How much more would you give? And I think a practical way of, Justine and Alyssa, you were talking about working for the poor, but a practical way that I often encourage people to do is to open a bank account. And I know this is financial, and it's not everything's financial, but open an extra bank account. And in that bank account, put in 3%, 10% of your income, of your gross income. Don't cheap out with God, you know, your gross income, whatever you get, put in whatever percent you decide. Because if you choose for the net income, all of a sudden you think, oh, I have to deduct tax, I have to deduct this, and it becomes less and less every time. So your gross income, you put a percentage, you say 3%, 5%, 10%, and you put it into that bank account. And that becomes your charity account. And with that, and then ask and pray to the Lord, Lord, where shall I give this? Yeah. How should I invest in the lives of the poor? And this is just a simple practical thing that we can do to remember the poor, and also to like you were saying, to work for the poor.
Mm-hmm. So good. I feel like this scripture definitely comes in two parts, because there's obviously that part where Jesus said, well, the righteous people are the ones who, when they did this for others, they were doing it for me. But then there are those others. There are the unrighteous people who saw the same need as the righteous, but instead they didn't respond, they didn't give, they didn't clothe, they didn't visit. And so therefore they didn't do it for Christ. And so, you know, this is a continuation of that kind of, we don't like to talk about this, I don't like to talk about it, but of that sort of discourse on the last judgment, you know, that there is going to be a time of judgment in our life. And Jesus is clearly saying, like, by your works, not just by your faith, they will speak for themselves. You are deciding where you want to be for eternity in how you live on this earth. And so, yeah, there's the whole talk of the sheep and the goats thing.
I love what you said. You said you are deciding. That's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, we have a choice. Our actions do have eternal consequences. The two states of the afterlife, they are eternal. They're not just temporary, they're eternal. And so I think we just really have to remember that how we treat others, particularly those in need, it does affect our final judgment.
Yes.
Thank you for seeking the Lord with us today. If you long for more content and resources, check out our church online. FRG Ministries Church Online is where you will find ongoing spiritual nourishment and inspiration. Online Mass, prayer, Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, worship music, Eucharistic adoration, and so much more. You can even submit your prayer requests and commit to pray for others. FRG Ministry Church Online will inspire and deepen your love and understanding of Christ and His Church. Be blessed by FRG Ministries Church Online at frgministry.com/churchonline.
So there was a bit of behind the scenes meaning to our question that we opened the podcast with, talking about school. Today's curly question is, should I send my child to Catholic school, homeschool, or state school?
Great question. And I would say there's probably not an answer to this, rather perhaps some points for discussion to this question, because it is nuanced, it is sensitive to particular, you know, socioeconomic situations of people. And also I think Catholic education and public education looks very different across the world.
In different parts of the world, yes. Yeah. And I think we might ask Father Rob to help us with this one, because I think he's the most worldly well, the most well-travelled and
not worldly.
No, I didn't mean that in the way that it came out.
I work in education. I preach and I speak at schools all around the world. And so I got a bit of an understanding of schools. And so let's just put you into context, okay? When it comes to Catholic education, for example, in Australia, we're government funded. So 80 to 90% of our funding comes from the government. And whenever you take from the government, of course, they want something in return. So there's governance that Australian Catholic schools have to mandate. For example, they can't discriminate who they employ. They have to have 51% Catholic, but they have to have 49%. They can up to 49% non-Catholic within the school. And that affects the way the schools are run. It affects the culture. It affects also who you employ and who teaches your religious education, all of that.
Fun times in Australia.
Yes. And also the Australian climate. At the moment, we have an extreme lack of teachers. So the pool through which, in which people, Catholic schools can employ, is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. We have an extreme lack of teachers, even though in Australia, for the rest of the world, we have probably the second highest paid teachers in the world. So we have all of that, which is different to Europe. For example, Europe, Catholic schools, usually within Catholic cultures, they're very poorly paid. Teachers really want to be there for the sake of teaching. It's almost like a social worker. So the attitude's different. Go to Canada, very similar to Australia, not as high paid teachers. And why do I mention the pay? Because I think pay has a lot to do with motivation as well.
Yeah, especially with the work that teachers have to do. It's not just the teaching hours. It's the behind the scenes stuff. It's all the hoops they have to jump through. I think as years have gone on, it's just gotten more and more difficult, like being in a school. It's not the fact. I think it's the teachers maybe don't like the extra stuff that comes. It's that you love this. You stay there for the love of the students and the love of the job. But it's the extra stuff that does make it pretty tough.
And also the law in Australia, compared even to the US, even compared to Europe, child safety laws, like the, even when you go on an outing, there are 1,000 forms to fill in and there's the unions that have to, anyway, it's very complicated right now in Australia. And that plays a part, that plays a role in, I think, your discernment whether to send children. Now, let's go to the US. US is different altogether, completely different, because they're not government funded. They're completely funded by the parish. They're private schools by the people going there. And so the equipment is less. So, for example, we have state-of-the-art theaters and 5.1 surround halls and ridiculous because we're government-funded. But the America, not so much. And so it is Catholic schools for Catholics. So even your teachers are Catholic. While we can't discriminate and say, hey, you're not Catholic, therefore we can't employ you. While America can.
Yeah.
So that is the context, the basic context of the differences.
I think when it comes down to this question, and this is something that we all pretty much jumped and said at the same time when we were discussing this before, is just to remember that the home is the primary place of education. And I don't think you should be relying on a school to teach your kids about faith and values. It's you who needs to teach your child to pray. It's you who needs to take your children and family to Mass. It's you who needs to explain about the sacraments. Don't just leave that to the school.
Yeah, so the school is not there to give faith. It's to educate.
Yeah.
So again, faith is caught, not taught. So the place they're going to catch that faith is home. You're lucky if there are teachers who are full of faith and inspirational, but that's not the purpose of the school. The school is to basically grow through a mindset, through education, to lead out, to educare, to lead out what is already sown as a seed in your heart, and that includes faith. But if you don't have faith at home, you can't expect, hey, I don't have faith, I don't teach my children about faith, about religion, what is right and what is wrong, and I expect the school to do that. That is a perfect storm for disaster.
And it will always supersede what happens in the home, will always supersede what happens in school, because you've been raising them since birth in it. And so we have to realize this idea of the domestic church. It's a real thing. It's part of the consideration of how our church understands itself to be in its fullness. So, that's the most important thing. And your home doesn't have to be perfect. We're not saying, I know mine isn't. I don't have any children myself, but I am by no means perfect. I didn't grow up in a perfect family. We were Catholic and my parents did as best as they could to raise us in a faith that was real and tangible and had its sights set on the poor and not just ourselves, and worshipping together and praying together. But it doesn't have to be perfect. And Pope Francis says, I found a quote where he says, The family home isn't meant to be house perfect people. It's meant to be a place where imperfect people find love, communion, encouragement, and forgiveness. And he said, only by the daily exercise of forgiveness can a family grow. And so you're not called to be a perfect domestic church, nor is our parishes by any means perfect, but a place where the truth of who Jesus is proclaimed. So I think that's really, really important. Second thing is whether you send your child to a Catholic school, government school, or homeschool, and also probably for the first two, to be involved in the life, the culture, the curriculum, the community of whatever school you send your child to is so, so important. You don't just pack their bag, pack their lunch, say see you later, and come back home and tick the box. I think our involvement as parents and family needs to extend into their community, not just because it's great to be involved in their community, but so we can have our eye over what's going on, what are they learning, what are they being taught, even in Catholic schools, what are some of the ideologies that are being presented.
That was what I was going to say. Be informed about what schools are teaching your children. Look at the curriculum. Have conversations with your children about what they're learning, and take an active role in their learning as well. If something's not right, definitely go and speak to the teacher or speak to leadership if you have to. Don't be afraid to push back if you need to as well. I know it's nuanced in every different situation, but definitely be on guard.
So I think it's important because at the end of the day, you are responsible for the education of your child, not your teachers, not even the culture within the Catholic schools. And sometimes I know it's difficult because you only have a state school in the area, you have no Catholic schools, you only have a Catholic schools, you don't have, and maybe you don't have the time to do homeschooling, or you don't have the skill set to do it. And that's fine. But look, I'm a believer that if you have a good foundation at home, everything else will fall into place.
Absolutely.
But understand, let your children understand the why. Because very often, even the why is not often explained.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, there's a big movement and teaching people about transgenderism and all of this. But why, as a Catholic, am I to believe in this way? Why am I, as a how am I going to instill in my child that, hey, my teacher is telling me that I can be whatever I want to be, like I can be whatever sex I want to be, whatever. And how do I, as a Catholic, teach them, hey, God created you this way and he has a plan for you in your sexuality this way. And so trying to explain things like that to your children. So you have to preempt, almost, not that they become militant and that, hey, my mom says this. Mm-hmm. No, at the end of the day, it's building confidence in your child, an intrinsic confidence that no matter how much the world around them is shaken, they can stand strong in what God has for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, comes from home.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of which school you send your kids to, I think ultimately it's up to you as parents, taking into account your individual situation as a family, but also the individual situation of your child and what's going to be best so that that child can become the child the saint that God has called them to be. And again, do your research. There's so many different options. You might have preconceived ideas about what certain, what a state school would be like, what a home school would be like, what a Catholic school would be like. Do your research and know, because some of your preconceived ideas might not be what the truth actually is as well.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think, look, when it comes to all of this, it comes down to also bringing your kids up in the praxis of faith as well. Take them to Mass, build their Catholic life, and teach them, like we were talking earlier on in this podcast about social justice, teach them why you take them on mission trips. Show them as well what it means to love and to serve Jesus. It is not an easy choice. And there isn't, like, at the end of the podcast, maybe you would have thought, they're going to tell us where to put. No. I think this is a discernment that you have to make, and it's not an easy one, especially for parents that are struggling with a world that is so loud and so confused, even within Catholic schools. So we pray for you. We pray for your discernment. Yeah. We pray for wisdom. And we know, and I know, how it's not easy to be a parent today. So but at all costs, protect your child at all costs. Make sure that they have the right pathway to get to heaven. And no school can take that away from you, and no institution can take that away from you, especially if there's a good foundation at home.
Well, that was a really enjoyable episode. I loved that conversation. Yes. Do feel free to send in your questions to us, podcast@frgministry.com. Catch us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, TikTok as well, catholicinfluencerspodcast.com. All those links can be found there. We are heading into Advent. Please join us for our free Advent retreat. These three gifts, frgministry.com/events for all the registration details.
And again, for charity, if you want to help and want to look out for the poor, to love the poor, one of the ways that we can do that as a ministry together is go to frgministry.com/donate and click on mission. There's information there on the missions we do, helping young girls who are in sex slavery and get out of that, young boys who are thrown onto the side of the street after they're used for begging. We can make a difference. $300 a year is enough to bring a young girl out of sex slavery forever. So let's make a difference. Let's reach out and let's help those in need.
Amen. See you next week.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.